This week, we'll talk a little bit about the Inyan from Shalom and the Inyan from Machlokes. Because this week, Korach, Rashi brings down this week that Parsha Zi Yofen Adreshes in Medrash Tanchuma. The main base where it talks about Korach, where the story of what happened with him was in Medrash Tanchuma, brings out clear the story of what happened. And it starts off Vayikach Korach Ben Yitzhar, Ben Kehos, Ben Levi, Vedosim Vaviram, and they went to Moshe and Aharon. And what was the story exactly, what went on this week? It says the story was that Moshe Rabbeinu, they said he took actually the whole everything for himself and his family, and he says he was the second son, and he comes a little bit before that, where he's taking everything for himself. He went together and he took together 150 Roshi Sanhedrin, that means the heads that were big tzaddikim, and he went to them and he told them Korach was a big tzaddik, you know, he Korach. It says he was carrying the Oren. Korach, he was carrying on his shoulders, he was taking the Oren. That means he was a very holy man, Korach. And it says also he had Nevi'ah. He was from the Nevi'ah. He saw everything. So how did he make this mistake? Rashi says that Korach, he saw Shalshelis Gedoyle, he saw coming out big chains, Shmuel Anovi, that's coming out from him. And if he's coming out of him, so it must be that I'm the one that's going to take over. But Rashi brings down also from the Medrash that what was his mistake? His mistake was that his eyes made a mistake. He saw something, but he didn't see everything clearly. He saw Shmuel Anovi coming out, but he didn't realize that his kids are going to do tshuva. And he didn't do tshuva. Okay. It's what happened was, it says in the Medrash, Vayikach, what does this mean, Vayikach? He took them, Mishichas Bedvarim. He talked everybody into it. What was the machlokes? He says, "Al yedei tzofim ben Azil achi aviv." What? Yeah, there's a lot of things with yikach, but here it says that he was mamshich. Vayikach means he took them, not all the time. Yikach could be kesef also, where you take them isha, but over here it means he talked everybody into it. He spoke to them. He had a koyach from talking, and he was a big tzaddik. You know, they say about Yismach Moshe, he was a big tzaddik, the Satmar Rebbe, the old Satmar Rebbe, his great-great-grandfather was the Yismach Moshe. He was from the big tzaddikim, and he says he remembers how many times his neshama was on this world. And he remembers he was the first time, and he was by the tzoyin from Yaakov, he was in the Shefelech by Yaakov Avinu, the sheep. And he said one time Yaakov had a whip him, and he has a mark from then still, from this. And he said the second time he was by the Machloikas from, but he was by Moshe Rabbeinu, he was one of the people there. And he said, and they asked him, where were you, whose team were you on? He says, I'll tell you the truth, it was very hard to see exactly who was right. He says, I was on the side. I didn't go here, I didn't go there, I was on the side. Because it was very hard. You see, you think Korach went like a Russia? Korach, he went with a white baggage, he went with the whole thing. Korach was a big tzaddik. Nobody knew who really was right. So I was just on the side. I wasn't sure who's right over here. And he said, now is the third time. But over here, Korach, he went, he spoke to them, and he told them things that make sense. He says, listen, he says, Elitzofim ben Izuel, he was my father's brother. And he became the Nasi from the whole family. and he was the Nasib Beis Av and Mishpachas HaKahasi. Korach said, my father had four brothers. It says, Bnei Korach, Amram, V'Yitzar, Chevroim, and Uziel. Amram was the Bechor. So he took it over. Aharon and his kids took the Kohuna. Moshe, his brother, took the Malchus. Okay, so he took that. Who's the next one? Who's the ready for it? Not the second one, after that. So after him comes Yitzhar. So he says, so the next thing, Nasi, that belongs to the second brother. So he says, I'm from the second, I'm the son from Yitzhar, so it's I'm the one who's supposed to take over the Nasius. And what did he do? He went to Uziel, and he's the youngest son from my father's brother. So since he's going to him, and it's often Ben Uziel, so he went to him. So because of that, he says, why did he go to the youngest one? He skipped the two middle brothers. I am the son from the second brother, so it belongs to me. That's what he started off. He went to them and he told them this last week finished the parsha with tzitzis, so that's why he started off with tzitzis. Korach jumped and he says, we learned in the parsha, tzitzis are kind of psil techeles. You have to have on the tzitzis, then now we don't have it anymore. You have to have one tzitzis that has to have techeles on it. Okay. So he said, Omeloy Moshe, he says, Talis shekula tcheles. If you have a talis, then the whole talis will be blue. He says, Mahi shtei p'tur me'at tzitzis, are you parted from tzitzis or not? Omeloy Moshe, Moshe says, yes, you have to put on tzitzis, even the whole talis is blue. Omeloy Korach, Korach tells him, Talis shekula tcheles, any p'teres atzma? He says, one blue one takes care of the whole talis. They had the whole talis blue, so that shouldn't take care of it. What do you need the whole thing? He started laughing at him. Then he says, Arba chutim poiter oisem. One takes care of the whole thing with tcheles, and then that makes sense. Then he says, Bayis mole svarim. If I have a house, the whole house is full of svarim. Okay, Mai shiye potim in a mezuzah. Do I have to put on a mezuzah in such a house? So he says, Moshe Rabbeinu, yes, Chayim, you have to put on a mezuzah. Omeloy, he tells him, Kol haTorah kula, Masayim Shivim Chomesh Parshis Sheshba, all the parshis he called, Kulam ain't b'teres habayis, and this doesn't take care of the bias, and Shtei Parshim Mezuzah b'teres habayis, only two parshis from these svarim, that's part of the whole house. Why? He said, doesn't make sense. So he started laughing at Moshe Rabbeinu. Amaloi told him, Dvarim Eloin Stavis Aleim. Umilipcha Atabodam. That means, Hashem didn't tell you these halachas. You made up by yourself these halachas because it doesn't make sense. And Hadoidik Sivi Yikach Koirech, Eva Yikach Eloshim Plige. He made a machloikis. He started making machloikis. Shalibu Lekacha, his heart took him away. And then he said, says Korach ben Yitzhar ben Kahosk. He says he took the Aron. He was a big and so Chachmenu Zechayim Rocha. Says Chacham Gadol Haya Korach. Korach was a very very smart person. What did he do? That he was carrying the Aron to Ane Oren Haya. What did he do? What did he have to start up with this whole Machlokes? So he told them about tzitzis. You know what? He says, what did he do, Korach, after the story with the tzitzis? He went, he spoke to 250 Roshi Sanhedrin, and he made that night 250 talises from blue talis. He put on blue talis. When the Satu Behem Oysach HaMishim Sayim, everybody put it on, the Roshi Sanhedrin, and they all came in front of Moshe Rabbeinu. By Yikimu Lefnei Moshe, Vanosh Mnei Sol, HaMishim Sayim, 250. They mean the heads from all the Klal Yisrael. He took them all over. They came to Moshe Rabbeinu, and Omad Korach, he stood there. Korach, Oslo Hamishte. He made for them a big party. When it's after Kula Metlis Tcheles, he went to Aharon, and they started giving him Atonis. He said, "Who told you to give it? Not Moshe." And for us, we didn't give. He didn't take anything. said, who told him? He's making up by himself. And Moshe Rabbeinu went to speak to them. Didn't help. He wanted to say, listen, I'm not doing anything by myself. Shine. And he went to them. Nothing was helping. Then what happened? Yikach Koirach. What else did he do? He took his talis and he went to take a etzah from his wife. He went to his wife. And what happened? When Hashem told Moshe, take the Levim. So what happened? With the heart of Isam, and how do you make the Levim Tohar? It says in the Pasuk, you have to have your sara, you have to take a razor, cut off all the hair from the Levim. And shine. Who did Moshe Rabbeinu go the first one? Koirach was the, you know, the biggest from all the Yidden. He went to him and he shaved his head, he shaved his beard with his payas, everything, his whole. And Koirach walked into the crowd. Everybody's looking at him. What happened to you? And nobody recognized him. Who did this to you? He says, Moshe did this to me. And not only he did this to me, he picked me up by my hand, my feet, and he lay this way. He picked me up, and he took Aaron. Aaron, he made like a collar, he brought him in, he put him in the oil moed, and all of a sudden it started a whole thing against Moshe Rabbeinu. They said, listen, Moshe is a melech, Aaron is a kohen gadol, and the kids from Aaron is kohanim. The truma we have to give to the kohen, the ma'is arishin to the kohen, the 24 matanis to the kohen, right away, vayikahale Moshe v'al Aaron. They all got together, and that's what happened. Who made it? His wife said, what is he doing to you? He's making litzonis from you. Look what he's doing. He looked like a monkey. You come inside without paying nothing. He shaved you. And don't let yourself. Omer of Levi, in that hour, Boaz Yishor Kinis Zadoso, he got everybody together. And they wanted to get him to give skila to Moshe Rabbeinu. They wanted to start throwing rocks at him. And Moshe heard this, what was going on. He fell on his face. I'm telling you, he says, I'm not looking for melucha. Lo melucha ani mevakesh. And I'm not looking to give him a gedoyle. It's not me who you can have tainus. And Hashem Yisrael, Moshe said to Rabbeinu Shlomo, what you told me to do? V'atra hakre v'lecha saharen. And here they come and they want to kill me. So, Hashem told him, Boikev yoyed Hashem asa shaloi. And Moshe Rabbeinu said, okay, in the morning we'll see what's going to happen. Omer Reb Nosson, Omer Kodesh Baruch Hu, Hashem told him, if you're going to get all the Khartoum in Mitzrayim, and if they want to turn over the day for night, or night a day, nobody's going to be able to, as many kishiv they could do, nobody could turn over day, make day, night, night, day. And the same thing, the way I split up the day and the night, that's the way I made Aharon split them up for Kodesh Kodeshim, and nobody could take this away from Aharon. And Moshe, he right away went to Dosan Vaviram. They were big chaver of Dosan Vaviram. They were big people, it says in the Midrashim. And they said, no, I'm not going to you. I'm not going. And we're not going to you. And it says, since they said, we're not going, Aloy Nal, I'm not going up to Moshe, he said, he's not going to go up. They're going to go down under the floor. And that's what happened. They went alive under the floor. And they started, they went out, Dosan Vaviru, Vaviram, they went out with their heads up. And they were very positive about themselves, that they're right. And they were making fun of Moshe Rabbeinu. Showing what happened, it says, so that was, the Torah says, he told everybody to leave. Everybody left from Koyach Vaidosa, Hashem, Moshe Rabbeinu said, Hashem, everybody should leave. And they went, they fell in under the floor. It says, Rashi brings this also down this medrash. But tiftech ha'aretz its pia, the mouth from the floor opened, from the earth opened up. It says, "Boyerei kam kasha machloikis." How bad a machloikis is. Shekala oizav machloikis. Whoever helps a machloikis, ma'aved ezichrei. Hashem will mean no remembrance from this person. It ate everything up from them. How bad a machloikus is she bezin shel meile and koinsin el ben esin shana b'meile. Bezin shel meile, that means the bezin in Shemayim, they don't give a einish, only somebody who's 20 and older. You're under 20, not ma'anish. Bezin shel mata ben shloisha esre. And the bezin on this world, from after the bar mitzvah. Machloikus shel koirach. But machloikus shel tinoikus shel b'nei yoima. Kids that were born that day, nisrafu v'nivlu b'shal tachlis. Everybody, the families, the babies, everybody fell into the floor b'shal tachlis. Unishem v'neim v'tapam v'yeduhem v'chol ashlem chayim shoyle. They were alive. Everybody fell in with the whole family. That's how bad machloikus is. Before I go further, I'm going to say another thing, but it's brought down from Talmid Baal Shem Tov that. What was this word that says, Ein of Hatasoi, that he saw, how did he make such a big mistake? His eyes, I mean, he saw Shmuel and Avi coming out of him, but he didn't realize that his kids are going to do tshuva. What happened was that when right before it happened, it says, Bnei Koirach Loi Mesu, they didn't die, but they were mazel, but they started thinking they want to do tshuva, a lot from his kids, from Bnei Koirach. And they made all the kapitah glamatzeach levnei koirach. We say this before tkiyah shofar glamatzeach levnei koirach from Tilim. All these kapitah from Tilim that says levnei koirach, they made then. They made then the Tilim, all these zmirot, they made then. And it says the place of Gehenim, it like a mountain with all the Bnei Koirach was on there, and the whole Gehenim fell in, and the mountain. Like it stayed like a mountain, a place where they all were together, the Bnei Koirach, and they stayed. Everybody saw that they stayed alive, and they were singing all the smiras of Bnei Koirach. That's one. It says there are seven madregas in Gehenim, shiva madure Gehenim. Yeah, I know everybody knows this, but there are seven madregas go further down, deeper in Gehenim, and that's why it says we say this before we blow shofar. Seven times we say, I'm saying Bnei Koirach Mizmoir. Seven times we're saying the Zemer, the Bnei Koirach, to show that even somebody who had to go to all the seven Madregas from Gehenim, and you do tshuva, you could be like the Bnei Koirach. Even somebody, the worst Mizman. That's why before shofar, we blow shofar, you want to do tshuva, you show, look at the Bnei Koirach. Bnei Koirach, they were about to go into Gehenim, the last second, we want to do tshuva, that saved them. That's why before we blow shofar, that's why we say this, L'Mitzeach, the Bnei Koirach, Mizmor. Because to show, just like the Bnei Koirach, they could do tshuva even though seven times, to show, you go to seven Madregas from Gehenim. If you want to do tshuva, it could always be the last minute. Now, it says from Talmid Baal Shem Tov, this word, it's a lot of Talmidim that say it, but the word is like this. What is called Ein of Hatasoi? His eyes made him make a mistake. A person is made with two eyes. One eye is made to see Gadlus HaBoira. That means see how big Hashem is. The second eye is made to look at yourself, how low you are. So that means not to be a balgaiver, to be humble. One to see how big Hashem is, one to look at yourself, how low you are. You can't just look at Hashem and forget about yourself. That means you could be a balgaiver. Now, Koirech, Shepikachoya, Koirech was a very smart person. He knew how to learn. He was the biggest Talmud Chacham then, that time. He was carrying the Luchos. He was carrying the Aron. So how did he make such a mistake? He's such a wise person. So he says, Eino v'tasoi. That means his eyes he had a mistake with. That means he saw Gadlus Hashem. He had one eye that looked up to Hashem, to understand that you have to look up to Hashem. But to look on yourself, how low you are, that eye he didn't have. That he wasn't looking that, you know, you have to be humble. He was going around like a big shot. And because he was a big shot, he lost everything. That's what it says. Eidah v'tosai, the eyes. You're supposed to have the two eyes. One to look at Hashem, one to look on your humbleness, to watch on yourself, not to be a big shot. That part he didn't look at himself, and that's what made his mistake. And if he would have been like that, then automatically he wouldn't have gone through all that, because right away he would have said, oh yeah, leave it to Moshe. What do you have to go? I want to get the Gedula. I have to be this. I am a Levi. I'm the second son. Everything has to do with Baal Gaiva. And the same thing, they say this Torah about Bilam. Bilam, Shesum Ha'ayim. One eye was blind. So this Tzadikim said, that means he was able to see. Yedeh Das Elyon. Bilam, he was able to see Das Elyon. But to see on himself how low he was, that he didn't. That Shesum Ha'ayim. He had one eye that was closed up. He couldn't look at himself to look, you know, how, be a little humble also. A main thing in Yiddishkeit is to not to be a big shot. And that is a main thing about not to be into machloikis. Machloikis is the worst thing, and that's what brings that what happened, the whole thing from Koyrat falling into the floor. Ayin ben Peles. What happened with Ayin ben Peles? It says in the Medrash, it happened, Nifloyas happened with him. Ben Peles, a lesson from Pele. So now it's not Nifloyas. Omer Rav, Ayin ben Peles, Ishtoi Hitzelasoi. Ayin ben Peles, what happened to him? He was also for the Bnei Reuven. Why didn't he die with everybody together? In the beginning of the parsha it says, I'm in Peles, they went all together. What happened? So the Medrash says, Omer Eloi, his wife told him, Maloch Ba'adem Plukta, what are you having with the, what are you going to have with this whole fight? If Aharon's going to be the Kohen, Atalmida, you're also a Talmud, you're going to be a Talmud. If Koyrach is going to be the Kohen, the big Kohen, also, I told me, you're only going to be a Talmud. Omer Olay, she told him, Yedana de Kula Knishta Kadisha. I know that everybody is holy. They're all holy people over here. So it says in the Mefarshim, what did she mean? She means that she's going to stand here by the door, and she's going to open up her tichel, and she'll let her hair out. And she knows that they're very holy people. If they're going to come to the Bnei Levi, they're going to come to get oint, to say, come along, they'll see her by the door, they're going to go away. She says, I know this, they're holy people. So she said, Ma'avdas, what did she do? Ashkisa chamre varvise, she gave him lots of wine to drink, and he got drunk, v'aginise v'arsise, and she put him into the bed, and he was drunk, laying in the bed. V'av yasra above the vase, and she sat by the in the front of the steps of her house. Sasa lemezia, she opened up her tichel and she let her hair outside. Kol man, the osa b'shvil oin bala. They kept on running together. Hey, oin, where's oin? And she's standing there with her hair outside. Right, they came. Right away, they turned around. They went away. Chazi v'hoder, adahochi v'hochi ivli aran. They kept on coming back and forth in between this whole story. That's when the whole story with Koyrach, they all went down under the floor in the earth, and she saved him. That's what it says. Chachmas noshim bonsa beisa. The chachoma from the ladies, they build up a house. Zu ishtu shel oin, and this is the wife from oin, that she saved the husband from the chloike. So you see, a wife, she did it. With Koyrach, she could bring somebody who gets married, and you could fall in with a wife, she could take you to Machloikis, and she could hold you back from Machloikis. That's good. You see how important it is that the wife should be a good wife and use the right brains before she does something. You're pushing into Machloikis and pushing, yeah, you deserve this, you deserve that. Lots of problems that I know. It's something that's it's a it's a a common problem with people that they come home. Yeah, my wife wants me to do this. She's pushing me for that, and she's pushing me for this. And that's a big problem that they're listening to the wife, because, you know, people like to have shalom bayis, and they listen to the wife. It's good to know somebody who's going for shaduchim, to know you find not only to look at beauty, you have to look at beauty in midos ochet, somebody who has good midos, somebody who looks for to do good for people and not to look for machloikis. You see what happened over here? Korach's wife, she said, yeah, you deserve this, you deserve that, you could be the biggest tzaddik. What happened? He lost no zeicher from Korach. I mean, from his, yes, but around and around. And the same thing is faket. And somebody who is ready for machloikis. I mean, the husband, Oyman Palace, he was ready to go. She held him back. And she did the smart thing. She made sure that he didn't go. And that's chus. She saved him. It says more from the Arizal that the neshama from this wife from Oyman Palace went into Michal Bashaul. I don't know if everybody learned here Nach. I don't learn Nach too much. But when I have to look up something, I learn Nach. By Michal Bashaul, she married David HaMelech. And what the story was over there, that Shaul wanted to go kill David. And he sent Malachim to go chase him. And he was in the house then. And Michal told him, I'm telling you now, you got to get out of here, because they're going to kill you tomorrow. So what did she do? She saved him. She took a string, she threw it out the window, and he crept out, and he escaped.
How did she know in the first place?
What?
How did she know?
She found out. She found out that she found out from Pesach that they're coming. And she told him, and he listened to her, and she got him out of the window, and he escaped. So she saved him. So this, not only that, this was the neshama from the wife from Oyin Ben Peles that saved Oyin Ben Peles, and then her neshama came back on this world, and she did the same thing to save the husband. So that's what you see, a neshama that's good, it comes back sometimes to do good, to save people, and that's why Hashem says sometimes He sends back a neshama onto this world to help people to do mitzvahs, Torah mitzvahs. It says the neshama from Moshe Rabbeinu, that Hashem split him up, is pashtusa de Moshe b'chol dor v'dor. I mean, every dor there's a part of a neshama from Moshe Rabbeinu that Hashem sends him on this world to help to do Torah mitzvah. Somebody, all of a sudden, you see somebody learning. It's something to Moshe Rabbeinu. Hashem sends his neshama. It says different madregas in there. Sometimes Hashem sends a different tzaddikim. It's brought down, we spoke a little bit last week about this, that there is two types of neshamas that come onto the world. There's neshamas that somebody has to be mekayim all the mitzvahs, and if he wasn't mekayim all the mitzvahs, so Hashem takes his neshama, and he says, okay, you weren't mekayim all the mitzvahs, you have to come again to this world to do this and this mitzvahs. And that's why the Arizal says, you see in the Gemara, somebody asked the Tana, Avicha b'maha zoyitve. Your father, what was he, what mitzvah did he like to do a lot? He says, he loved mitzvah tzitzis. He says, my father, he was always with his tefillin on, he loved tefillin. Why is this? Arizal says, why is this? That this guy, he always loves tefillin, this guy, he loves tzitzis, this guy loves tzedavin. Every person that you see, there's a certain mitzvah that you love, that means your neshama came in this world to do this mitzvah. And that's why he's always busy with this mitzvah, because his neshama feels that that's what he was missing. And that's why he's doing it. And faket also, it says, how do you know also if somebody came in this world to fix up certain aveiras? You see, he's always falling through in a certain aveira. He always forgets to do this, or he forgets to bench, he always forgets to makes brachas. You know, okay, I'm on this world because I have to make brachas, or I have to daven. Whatever you know, what you fall through, that's why your neshama came to this world, because Hashem sent you, in the neshama from beforehand, before you came to this world, you missed certain things, and now you're back over here, because you have to do this and this thing that the aveda that you have to be masakin. That's why you're back into this world. And everybody knows by himself which aveda you always fall through. So that's why everybody has to know by himself what he has to be on top of, what to watch, not to do it. But that's one type of reason why Hashem makes Gilgul. But there's certain times that the neshama, like we spoke about already, somebody, he was he's not a lady, he's not a kohen, he's not a yibum. This neshama, so there's a mitzvah that says ki yakar kan sipa lefanecha. That means if I'm going in the street and I see a kan sipa, so then you should be mekayim the mitzvah from shluach haken. You have to send away the mother from the kan, do a mitzvah shluach haken. So what happens if I never went by? I never had this story. So it says only ki yakare. If it happened to be that I went by, so it says from the Arizal that this person, since he didn't have to do this mitzvah because it wasn't his fault, he tried to do whatever is possible. So Hashem takes his neshama. He says, okay, I want to get you into Gan Eden, but since you didn't do this mitzvah, he sends your neshama into this world, and he says, okay. When this person is going to do mitzvahs kan sipur, so shluach haken, the neshama goes into that person, and after this guy does this mitzvah, so your neshama leaves, and he goes back, and he fixed up. But that's different than a neshama from dibuk. Everybody knows what dibuk is. You heard what dibuk is? There's a dibuk. I don't know if some people do know what dibuk is, but I'll explain this. It happened a few years ago. It happened in Yerushalayim. There was a story. A bunch of mekubalim got together. There was a story with a lady. Her husband died, and all of a sudden one day, the husband is talking in her, and she had a lot of tzad, and she felt there's something, and he was saying all different kind of things. And everybody walked into the house. This guy said every aveda that the guy did. Like we saw, it was in the shama. And this thing didn't happen in the last generation, but the generations beforehand, there was lots of stories by the Arizal, and then later before the war, there was a story with the Chofetz Chaim. He had, there was lots of tzaddikim that he had stories with dibbik. A dibbik means get stuck. There's a neshama that he did lots of avedas on the world, and he's not ready even for Gehenna. But Gehenna is the last stop before you go into Gan Eden. And if you're not ready for Gehenna, that means they send you around, they shoot you around in the neshama, and usually he flies around in the air, and he goes to a place where he could where he was beforehand. He tries to get to somebody. So usually he runs to family. So this neshama ran into his wife, and she couldn't take it. He kept on screaming. You saw it was like her husband's voice coming out of her, and he went to the Rav, and there were certain times that he left, he came back, and they went to say Tikkun Leil Shavuos in the house, and then they called up Rav Batzri to Yerushalayim with a bunch of Mekubalim, Rabbi Rabinovich. They got together a whole minyan, because there's a seder from the Arizal how to get out, and then they took her to a house. They have it on video, because they took when they made the meeting in Yerushalayim, they had a video of the whole story, and they asked all different kind of questions from the neshama, and they saw that the neshama, you know, that it's the things that brought down Arizal. This neshama was saying it's because this aveda, and they saying the avedas that he went through, and that's why he has no, he's not getting any place. They're not letting him to go any place. So they had a whole minyan, and they were blowing shofar, and they said a certain kapitlach tilim, and they when they finished it out, and the neshama flew out, and she was back, like she was like flew from one place to the other. You saw that it wasn't normal the way she was flying. She was laying flat on the floor. She flew up and down. It was unbelievable. But that's something that happened a few years ago in Yerushalayim, and they had it. They took it down. They videoed the whole thing that people should see. That people make fun. Nah, she's a player. She's a movie star. the people were trying to laugh at it. What? I don't know, but I could find out where this is. What? She flew up and then she was on the floor. I don't know exactly. I heard the way she was acting. You saw that it wasn't menschlich. It wasn't normal. So and you could hear the noise, the voices that was coming out of her. It wasn't her voice. So they saw it like a neshama talking.
That kind of stuff is real.
This is real stuff, yeah.
It does exist.
It's something that we didn't hear the last generation. But the last generation, after the war, we didn't hear. I have a Rebbe, Skolena Rebbe in Barafak. He says he remembers a story that was in before the war. He was a kid, and he remembers there was a neshama that was in the town where he lived, and they came over.
Her husband's neshama
came in.
How they know the voice,
and she said he's talking, whatever. They saw the way he was talking, that it was the same voice. Yeah, the same voice. It was they could hear.
So the fact that there's not as often, it's a good thing.
Right, it's a good thing, but I'm not sure exactly what happens, but. This is something what shows on Gilgul that people don't believe. There were people that don't believe about it, about the Indian from Gilgul Neshamot. But this is a story that happened. And I heard from the Skolena Rebbe, he's about 85 years old now. And he said when he was a kid, that means it must have been about 70 years ago, before the war, maybe before the Second War. And he says he remembers there was also a lady. Usually they come into ladies, it's usually. And they came into the to the Rebbe. There were certain times that she was by herself, that you know she was at herself, that she could talk. And when the neshama was there, it was a neshama. They don't know who was there, a certain neshama. But this neshama would tell everybody. The Rebbe said, everybody who went inside, he would tell every mitzvah, every aveda you did from day one. He said neshamas, they could see everything. And they went to ask about, what do you say about this Skolena Rebbe? I mean, his father was old. He says, oh, I know all about him. He was 2 weeks ago in this city, and he said a drasha, and he said they have to build up a mikveh for the ladies, and everybody came, they gave money. And then 4 weeks ago, he was in there. He started saying all different kinds. They say he knows. And then they went to the Rebbe, maybe you want to come to there? He says, no, I know my Avedis already, what I have to do. He was, you know, he's a very humble person, the old Skolena Rebbe, he didn't want to go. But he told them, whoever came to him, he said, somebody came from Yerushalayim, and he asked the Rebbe, should I go? He says, it's kedai to go. Maybe it could be Maharet B'tshuva. You see, you'll hear what they tell you, maybe it'll help you do tshuva. So the guy went, he came out, you know, he's telling him everything. But the lady had a lot of tzar, so the Rebbe told her, he certain tell him what to say the whole time, keep on saying tell him when he's not by you, and within the next few days, it's the Kedusha from the tell him is going to take him out of you. And that's what she started saying, the tell him and tell him the whole day and night, and the next, after a few days, It left, and that was it. But this was a story. So when I told the Skolena Rebbe about the story from Yerushalayim, he asked right away, where did it come out, from the tip, from the nail, or from the fingers, or from the foot? He told the Rebbe, which finger, the top? He knew exactly where it's supposed to come out from. But you see, when the place where it comes out, you get puffed up the area, and you saw. And by the Chofetz Chaim, they had the windows closed, so it broke through, it smashed through the window. But by here, I think they left the window open, that they shouldn't have to crack the windows. But it is something that there is. I'm just telling you that there is neshamas that come onto the world. There's different. So I'm saying like this: there is a dibbik. That's that they call dibbik, and the Kisra Rizal they call this ruach. That means a ruach that comes into you. So there are ways, there's lots of stories in the Kisra Rizal, Shara Gulam, about how he used to take out all this, what he told, all different kind of stories about it. What?
Ghosts.
Ghosts, if that's what they call, I don't know. But these are the neshamas that come in, the dibbik neshamas that I'm talking, that means they didn't have a schus to get into Gehenim. And once in your Gehenim already, you're on your way to go into Gan Eden. You just have to go through a certain amount of Gehenim, what you have to go through. But before that, you have to go through Gilgal. That means sometimes Hashem sends you back onto this world, and you have to do certain mitzvahs, and until you finish off the Gilgal, there's a Shaila in the Tshuva Svarim. Somebody who is a Gilgal, and after the first time, the second time, third time, whatever, he's a few times here, when he gets up at Tchias HaMeisim, Who's going to get up? The first one, the second one, or the third one?
The best one.
Oh, so you got it. So that's what it's brought down, Taka, that the one who filled up what he was supposed to, he is going to get up. The other one's going to be nothing.
He was a girl, or she, or he.
If you are whatever the one who
the same neshama, but the certain body that he was occupying that committed the most mitzvahs.
Yeah, that the body who, I mean, is the last one that didn't have to go giggle anymore.
Right.
He is the one who's going to get up at Chiyus HaMeisim. Okay, so now, so just to get straight, I'm explaining to you what happened with Ayman Pelas. I'm telling you that the neshama, this was not the neshama from Dibrik. I mean, the Dibrik neshamas that had, these are problem cases that they didn't get into Gehenna yet, and they don't know what to do with them yet. So they send him this world, and he's like, he's lost. So
Kavakela, isn't it?
Kavakela. Kavakela is named slingshot. That's what Kavakela means, a slingshot. They take him. As nefesh ha'ivecha yikaleinu b'kafakela. That means that the nefesh ha'ivecha, these, my enemies, I'm going to take care of them like a slingshot, and I shoot their neshamas back and forth all around. That's what happens to these neshamas. But this is the neshamas that they have a problem that they don't get. But now, there's a problem, the neshamas that aren't a problem. That means the neshama from Atzadekis, like the wife from Ayman Pelas. So since she did good, so Hashem sends her again to this world sometimes that she should fix off certain things to help the other neshamas, like what happened with David HaMelech. And then the Atzadikim, like Elyanovi. Elyanovi, it says, actually, I'll tell you exactly what happened with Elyanovi. It's brought down from Ben Ishchai and Parshas Pinchas that Hinni Noisen Loyes Brisi Shalom, that the Vav from Shalom in the Sefer Torah, it's two. It's not in between. It's not connected, the Vav. The Vav is not connected. It's Vav Ketir. So, Ben Ishchai, why is this Vav? Not,
what do you mean by not connected?
That means it's a space. It's split. The Vav from Shalom is split. Why is it split, the Vav? You look in the Sefer Torah, it's split, the Vav. Why is it split?
The bottom,
in Parshas Pinchas. What?
The word Vav, the top and the bottom.
What, the Vav? What are you talking about?
No, the men, it's like, you know, sometimes men are supposed to put a special...
I got it like this, I'm wearing?
Yeah, so it could be, you know...
No, I'm just saying, this is the Vav, in the word Shalom, Shin Lamed Vav, Mem. Now, the Vav, in the Sefer Torah, from Shalom, by Pinchas, it's split, in the middle of the Vav, it's split into two. It's not one word, it's not one Vav. It's split into two. It's knocked off, it's like it's knocked off. That's the way you're supposed to write it. Why?
It's like a Yud in a
line.
Yeah, it's like a small Yud with a little a dash in between, and then it goes further.
Space.
A space in between.
Okay.
Why is it spaced in between from the Vav? So he says like this to Ben Ishchai. It says in the Zohar that Vav is the Ois HaChaim. That means that Vav means the life. The Ois, that this is the Ois from life. Now, this is showing on the life from Pinchas. So what's with Pinchas? He said, what happened was with Pinchas, it says that Pinchas lived about 800 years. Pinchas, everybody knows, Pinchas the Eliyahu. Yes, Pinchas, that he was still in Mitzrayim, and he went out of Mitzrayim with Moshe Rabbeinu, and he lived all the way in the times he was still in the times of David HaMelech. We're talking about here, he lived, it says in the Sefer HaDoris, lived about 800 years. I don't know exactly how many, but what happened was, so he says two pshatim. He says one pshat is that what he got after the time, from the times of, after the times of Moshe Rabbeinu, I don't know, after the Midbar, before the Nevi'im times, like a little bit later, Pinchas all of a sudden one day he got lost. That means he walked into the woods, he went into the Midbar, and he used to learn with the Malachim, and he didn't, nobody knew what happened to him. He never came out. A few hundred years later, he came out in the city of Gilad. And he came, all of a sudden somebody comes out of the woods with long white beards and payas coming out and say, "Who are you?" "My name is Eliyahu." He says, "Name is Eliyahu." "Okay, Eliyahu." So they called him Eliyahu HaGiladi. Eliyahu, we sing Eliyahu HaNavi, Eliyahu HaGiladi. Why Eliyahu HaGiladi? Eliyahu from Gilad, from the city Gilad. That's what he called himself. He called himself Eliyahu. And they called him Eliyahu HaGiladi from Gilad. And nobody knew who he was. And then we had then still Achia Shilani. Achia Shilani was also from the Yoitz Mitzrayim. He also came out of Mitzrayim. And he was also still the times from David. He lived also over 500 years. Well, he was a Levi. Yes. And he came into Shul, and he's looking at him, and everybody says, this guy came into the town. He says, his name is Eliyahu. He's looking at him and says, Pinchas Eliyahu. This is Pinchas. And everybody's looking and says, yes, I remember him from a few hundred years ago. He was also a few hundred years old. And he gave out the secret that he was Pinchas Eliyahu. That's how they found out from Achia Shiloni. He says, that's why the Vav is split into two to show he had two types of life. The first part of life, he was Pinchas. The second type, part of his life, he was named as Eliyahu. So that's why it split. But there's a different reason why he split, because it says in the Zohar that since he said, Azvu es Brisach, he says that the Klal Yisrael, they're not Mikayim their Bris, because they were over. So Hashem said, this mouth that said that they're not Mikayim Bris, you're going to have to say Edus that they are Mikayim the Bris. So it was the Oedish Veliyahu that he has to come back. Every Bris, you're going to have to come and watch and see they are Mikayim the Bris. So this, that he's coming down, for him, it's for us, it's a favor, because there's a message that's brought down that Eliyahu said, if I'm coming down, you know, I can't sit with Bali Avedis. So for a Bris, he says, okay, I'll be Mechapa for the Baal Bris. He says, and what's with the Sandik, and what's with the Moel? He says, okay, I'll be Mechapa, and then, and what's with the guys by the, sitting around by the Suda? So Hashem said, okay, I'll be Mechapa, I'll forgive everybody their Avedis. So he says, okay, if they're not going to have no Avedis anybody, I'm coming down to the Bris. And that's, he's coming down for us, it's a favor. But for him, that he has to come say Avedis, it's not a favor for him. Because he could be in Gan Eden, and he has to come, keep on coming like a yo-yo, up and down. But it says that even though he comes to a Bris, but it's not the full neshama, because he's like sparks from his neshama come out. Because there's 1,000 Bris in 1 second. How could he be here and there? He comes to the Seder, Pesach, he could do the Seder. How could he come to everybody's Seder in one shot? Everybody's having a Seder. So it's only a neshama. It's brought down from the Rizal and from the Reb Shalom Sharebi. A nitzutz neshama comes. Somebody who's a big tzaddik, he makes a bris. He has a lot of, he can have 100 nitzutzim. Somebody who is less, only one nitzutz. It depends on the Baal Bris. If somebody who's a higher level from who making the bris, so he has higher neshamas. It's also brought down. I want to tell you another thing. That's why, before I go further, that's why the Vav from Shalom is Ketir, because his life is split, because his, he doesn't have a full life. He's always split up because he has to keep on coming down. So that's why the Ben Ishchai says in Od Yosef Chai that that's why the Vav from Sholem is split, to show that he had a split up. He's always split because he has to keep on running. Another thing I want to say that it says in Parshas Pinchas also in the Zohar that somebody who makes a simcha, that means it says, there it talks about a chuppah. That's somebody who lost his father and he's not there with his father and mother by the simcha. So they take, it says, there are shlosh shutfim ba'adam. There are three shutfim in a person. That means Hashem is Baruch, gives the neshama, and then the father and the mother, right? Somebody, it says the mother gives the hair and the father gives the bones. All together, they make the neshama. So it says, Yismach Yisrael Ba'oisav. What is it? Yismach Yisrael Ba'oisav. That means, Klal Yisrael, the Yismach, they're happy, Ba'oisav, with the people who made them. So the Zohar says, Ba'oisav. Who is the Oisav? The Oisav are three people. It's the Hashem Yisbarach, and it's the father and the mother. So it is going to be a simcha with a son. And Hashem is with him all the time. But what's with his father and mother? They have to be Yismach Yisrael Ba'oisav with all the shutrim. So it says in the Zohar that Hashem goes to the father and mother and he's oiked them from Gan Eden. He says, you have to come down, and they have to come down to the chuppah, and they have to be by the simcha. Whenever there's a simcha in the family, and they have to be part of the simcha. Quiz of Yismach Yisrael Ba'oisav, and that means every time there's a simcha. In Yisoid V'Shoyrish Avoid, it says that not only by a chasana that they're coming down, every simcha that there is, that means it's going to be Shabbos by the Suda, whenever you're happy, your father's neshama is together with you, your mother's neshama is there. You're making a simcha, a bris milah, anything, but if it's a yahrzeit, yahrzeit says anyways, the father comes down for the yahrzeit. His, it says it's by yahrzeit from a father, he comes down. It's a shaila how many days he's there, 3 days or a whole week he's there. This is a shaila. But it's a shaila 3 days before, 3 after, or only 3 days, 1 day before, yahrzeit. If that's for sure, in the 3 days, he's over there, the neshama, nefesh, ruach, neshama. And that's why you put on a candle for your father, because ner, Hashem, nishmas Adam. The ner from an air you put on is the ner Hashem, nishmas Adam. That's the neshama from a person. It says from tzaddikim tak. When you put on a candle, that for a yahrzeit, you shouldn't blow it out. A yahrzeit candle, you have to let and stay till it goes. And I knew somebody who's nifter a few years ago. He learned in Munkach. His name was Rabbi Yama. Another 5 minutes is Ma'ariv. You okay? I don't want to miss Ma'ariv, but this is interesting. He was nifty. He was a big tzaddik. His name was Rabbi Yama Perlstein, and he told me there was a chabur in Minkach by the Minkach Zalaza. He was a big tzaddik, and they had Bochum that they never went out to Besmedich. He was sitting there running all the time, and there was some bacher that he says he sees. He didn't say if it's about himself. Some people say that it was he talking about himself. But he was a very humble person, so he never gave out who it was. But he said he was so b'kedusha, he was looking at the building. He said he could tell you anybody who's walking into the building. He says, I see this and this guy coming now. And there was no window. I mean, talking about a wall. And he says, I see. And whenever they saw him coming inside. And it was nothing. That was one thing. Then another thing, he says whenever when he's looking at the yahrzeit candle, he has a yahrzeit, somebody goes, he's looking at this, and he says, I see this and this. He says, this guy looks like this. He's a short guy, has a white beard. This guy has a black beard. He looks like this. He's wearing this and this. Exactly. And he says, you know, test. So they went over to the guy. What did you put on a candle? He said, I have a yahrzeit, who and father. How did he look? He says, he had a white beard with this. Exactly the way he told you, that's the way he saw it. And he said every time he put on a candle, he saw the face of the person that he put on the candle for. He says, you say this number. And I heard it from a Rebbe, Kretchen of Rebbe's Chanaruch. He said this from his grandfather. If somebody would see a yahrzeit candle, the way you, that if you lash out, it looks like you're clutching the guy by the neck. I heard this when I was young. But I didn't, it's a story, you know, obvious story. But after this guy is telling me that this is something that he saw, he says, I was there, and I'm telling you, this bacher, every yahrzeit candle, he would come over, and he'd say exactly what he saw. He saw this, he saw faces by neshamas. There is something in neshama that you put on, the neshama has an aliyah. But then it has an awe from this that you put on a candle. And that's what he asked you about the yahrzeit from a father. A yahrzeit, he comes down to the tzion. That means usually there's only a little nitzitz neshama by the kever. But when it comes to a yahrzeit, not a neshama, the whole neshama that was in Gan Eden, it comes down back in the place where the bone is. This is this one bone that never gets rot. You know that. Mm-hmm. This is the loose bone. The loose, nischoy, this loose from nez. That bone, I'm not sure exactly where it's behind the neck, the shedra, is a little part of it, and it's brought down in the svarim that the only gets high is this bone when you eat Melav Malke. Melav Malke is a special zgula to eat Melav Malke. This Melav Malke gives a high to this bone that's called the luz. And that's why David HaMelech Yisrael Chai V'Kayim. He didn't die. David HaMelech is alive. What is this David HaMelech Chai V'Kayim? This is the Suda from David HaMelech, that it's for this bone that stays alive forever. This bone never goes. It says in the Zohar that Mi'etz Hashem, when Mashiach is going to come, this bone that stayed over, it's going to be like a piece of yeast with the challah, and the whole body is going to blow up
from
this bone, and everybody's and he's going to be full. His whole surah, everything is going to come back to exactly the shape, the way he was. B'chayev. The word tzaddikim, when niftar, they said they want to go with the talis. They shouldn't be naked. They should be with the talis. And I mean, everybody has tachrichim. You should. Everybody's going to get up. And there was some tzaddikim that even said, "I want my beckets inside." It said, "Asidim." You said, "Yerushalmi." They said, "Asidim tzaddikim." That they're going to get up with their clothes. So there was a threat in the tzaddik that lived in America. He was a big, big mekubel. They buried him with his baggage. They put it, and somebody put a letter into the papers, and he wrote an explanation why he did ever said to put the baggage, not put it on him, but he put it inside the cave on top of because. But that's the union that is going to be the Osir Lovay. Hashem is Baruch Hashem. We should be Zoyche the Osir Lovay. Mashiach Tzad Kenim Heir Menu. Okay.
Why one person gets buried with a child?
Yes, there's a whole Shaila about this, to if you have to make possible the tzitzis or not.
What about ladies? They also bury the same with the talik?
What ladies don't put? No. No, not before.